This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thirty-seven in the evening with Lynn, Kelvin and Ayman. Now, somewhat related to this idea of bread and butter, or actually directly related, is our next story. It is 6:42 and we're kicking it off. And it is about the economic security of young people in Malaysia. Now, this is coming after Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad basically warned that, you know, as we're seeing in other nations, economically frustrated youths can bring unrest in the country.
Yeah, and he highlighted the importance of dealing with youth unemployment, which still affects a large proportion of young people in Malaysia. So there is a risk that economic insecurity will create fertile ground for discontent and instability, just like in other countries like Hong Kong, Beirut and Santiago, according to the Prime Minister.
So Tun M also adds that we must consider the consequences that relentless progress can bring. For example, the devastating effects of climate change. And I guess this brings home the fact that there are many other issues that young people are affected by besides unemployment, which can cause frustration. This includes the climate crisis, income inequality, and political participation.
And I think all of those things have been feeding the kinds of protests and the kinds of protests that we've been seeing worldwide, right? Like we've been seeing protests and demonstrations, rather. So, for example, with the climate march and with issues surrounding unemployment, we are seeing a sort of connection, I think, through the various countries where we're seeing these protests and demonstrations. And that's in no small part because now everybody knows everything about everybody else. So it used to be that there was a delay in terms of getting your news or information, but now you can literally live stream things. And so everybody, I think, is intimately aware of the fact that there are young people kind of hitting the streets for reasons that might feel very similar to your frustrations. And I think that ends up feeding into a sense both of solidarity and also shared frustration, because the more people feel it, the more you think, well, you know, what is this? What is this broken system?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's been coming across in, as you've said, the many protests happening, the many protests, the many sit-ins that we've seen globally. And I think, you know, it's very much in focus of the long term, right? You know, there are a lot of short-term pains that they're facing, but also looking into the future, if you are unemployed as a young person, you lose out on so much of your future. You know, you lose out on gaining income over time, income gained over time. You lose out on the opportunity to connect over time as well. And for the climate, you know, if there isn't a world to look forward to where I can live safely, where I can live still with, you know, trees, still with plants, still with animals all around, then, you know, what's the point?
So we are going to be speaking to, well, not, you know, the representative of all youth in Malaysia, because I don't know if that person exists outside of, I mean, even our minister, really, I don't know if he would necessarily claim that. But we are going to be speaking to somebody who is a politically active, socially minded person who represents, I guess, you know, some segments of the young here in our country. And that is, of course, Tamalingam Pile, who is the director of Undi 18. We will be back to speak with him after this. If you have thoughts on, I guess, the issues affecting the young here in our country, you know, what are you seeing? What are you observing? Get in touch with us. Let us know what they are. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
It's 6:47 in the evening. You're with Lynn, Kelvin and Ayman, and we're talking about economic security, especially for young people in Malaysia. Tun M has said, you know, as we're seeing in other countries around the world, economically frustrated youths can pretty much head to the streets. I mean, we're seeing it happen. And so I guess we just want to see whether this is something that is close to the hearts and minds, really, of young people here in our country as well. If you have thoughts on this, you know, do you feel economically secure, actually? I think that's the question here, really. Call us and let us know, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We are crossing over in the meantime to Thama Lingampile, who's the director of Undi 18. Thama, it is good to have you with us.
It's always a pleasure to be on BFM.
So, first of all, right, I guess the question here is, generally speaking, how economically secure do you think young people feel today?
Not very much. I think there's a great economic anxiety felt by Malaysian youth. The cost of living continues to rise. The cost of housing has stayed expensive. And there are much, much fewer high-skilled and well-paying jobs that are available. And if you look at the numbers, national unemployment rate is only 3.3%, but unemployment rate for the young Malaysians are more than triple that number at 10.8%. And by the way, that doesn't account for many young Malaysians who are not actively seeking for a job. So the real number of unemployed youth might be 15%, might even be 20%. And even for those who can get a job, they struggle to get good jobs. According to Bank Negara, more than half of Malaysia's graduates are paid a monthly minimum wage of 2,000 ringgit or less. So I think that definitely there is, young people are feeling very economically insecure.
And, you know, if I could get just a little bit personal with you for a second, I mean, how confident are you in your economic security? I mean, is it something that you felt while you were still in school? Were you confident that you were going to have a job and a job that could actually support you and your lifestyle?
Okay, well, for me right now, I think I'm in a very fortunate position where my skills are valuable. So I think I personally have economic security. But looking at my growing up experience in school, that was not something that I felt. Just because I was from a low-income background and I'm from an Indian background. So which means that in the peak Mahathir era, or Mahathir 1.0, opportunities were scholarships, business grants and training were almost entirely reserved for Bumiputras. So it was tough to be from a low-income Indian background. So there were limited opportunities. But I think this is something that people generally shared the sentiment. People who grew up in the 80s, 90s, that there is a fundamental belief that if you studied hard and got a degree, that you would have a decent life and get a decent job. And I think that's something that I also believe, that as long as I graduated and got a degree, I would be okay. But the reality is that's not true anymore. Graduate unemployment is at 9.6%. And again, looking back at the national unemployment numbers, that's three times of the or triple the national unemployment numbers. So, yeah, so I think the situation has very much changed compared to when I was growing up.
So right now we have social media and worldwide news, right? So that makes protests around the world no longer standing in isolation. So when you see reports of young people in other countries taking to the streets, right, how do you feel?
For me, I think I always admire and respect the courage that it takes to stand up for what they believe in, because they are facing the risk of arrest, they're facing the risk of getting murdered, they're getting like Hong Kong protesters, for example, were losing their eyesight, getting shot at, getting injured by the police officers. So for them to sort of stand up for what they believe in is something that's very admirable. And for me, I like to tie it back to the Malaysian context and what I can learn from it. And for me, I just realized that Malaysia is quite lucky that we are a relatively peaceful country. And the fact that we have a working democracy is a great thing. But for me, it's always, okay, I've seen the movements and the things that people around the world are pushing for. Better wages, better representation for youth, better climate change policies. And I think that's something that we should bring back to Malaysia. That's something that we should work on. So for me, it's always, how do we progress and how do we learn from the rest of the world and make Malaysia better?
How are issues of global importance, such as climate change, economic unrest and so on, being felt here in Malaysia, especially among the young?
I believe that just because of how connected we are to social media, global conversations do filter and become local conversations. For example, Malaysia has, I think, the second greatest reach in terms of WhatsApp in the entire world. So it's really just a question of who gets what message and how are Malaysians acting on it. So I think if you look at the youth, I think there has been a growth of youth NGOs to discuss and push for things such as democratic empowerment. Undi 18 is one of those organizations. We're also looking at climate change policies, better wages. I think these are all the growth of youth NGOs pushing for better policies. But not just in terms of the people who are pushing for changes, just in terms of the average young person, I think that there's more discussion about it. There's a growing interest in trying to understand global issues. And, for example, just on Facebook, for example, there are a number of Malay language international relations commentators with tens of thousands of followers with massive engagement. There's also books that are sold about this in both English and Malay. So it's clear that there is a market for this, and it's clear that young people are paying attention and are interested.
Now, with that said, right, for a very, very long time, I think here in our country, any form of protest or dissent was almost universally discouraged, or it was really practically impossible without serious consequence. And now, at least nominally, at least based on what we are promised in Malaysia Baru, that's supposed to have changed. Do you believe that to be true? You know, do you think it has changed? Are we more open now to different forms of expression, such as acts of civil disobedience?
Right. I'll be honest, it's really hard to say. Because it was just this year that we had the Women's March, where seven of the organizers were summoned by the police, and they were questioned under the Sedition Act and the Peaceful Assembly Act. But on the other hand, on the flip side, you also had, you also have like ministers going to meet protesters in front of Parliament to go and receive their memorandums, which is something that was unheard of in the previous administration. Even in the most popular case of the UN protests during the convocation, Wong Yan Kee. YB Mazli himself, the Minister of Education, said that there isn't going to be any action taken by the Ministry of Education to this graduate, which means that they're not going to withhold his degree, that they're not going to take any disciplinary action, and it's basically for him to discuss with the university. So I thought that's a very good sign forward. So in my opinion, I would say that the path for our progress isn't clear, and it definitely isn't linear. But somehow we're making some level of progress with this new government. So that's all I can say about that.
So I just want to ask you, among your circle, what are the main concerns that have surfaced, especially as we finish off the year and are heading into a new decade?
For me, I think there's, just because it's 2020 next year, I think there's a lot of discussion about our legacy and what is our plans post-2020, and also what we've been doing over the past two, 3 decades that has been very much characterized and basically Mahathir, or Tun Mahathir, is the central figure of it. So I think just like Tun Mahathir, his ideology of Mahathirism has continued to define Malaysia. So in terms of economics, we are still trying to justify a race-based economic agenda. And the funny thing is that Tun Mahathir himself said in 2003 that it's failed, yet he's come back and he's brought back his policies. We haven't liberalized our economies from political patronage and protectionism. You know, we have an approved permit systems. We have the dominance of politically linked GLCs. You know, for example, the government keeps having to bail out housing developers because a lot of government investment and retirement funds are tied to housing developing companies. So these failed economic policies have hurt Malaysia and resulted in us having this conversation today about economic anxiety, about young people feeling feeling trapped. So I think that's really the discussion. How do we move forward and how do we fix this current system of political patronage and protectionism?
And with that said, do you think the government then is doing well enough in engaging young people and trying to provide good short and long-term solutions to their problems?
I don't think so. I think one of the big problems with the government is communication is pretty bad. I think this is something that Tun Mahathir mentioned in a press conference. I think it was today or yesterday. And even worse, perhaps, than the lack of communication between the government and the people is the lack of coordination between the ministers in the administration. For example, YB Sadiq was pushing for Gojek to provide more income to Malaysian youths. And I think that's a good policy, a good short-term solution for unemployment. Yet, other members of the cabinet are now trying to over-regulate the gig economy. So you can see that there's no clear perspective from the government as a whole. But I would say that there are some positives also. For example, in the recent budget announcement, it's clear that the government is trying to re-industrialize. So they've promised tax incentives for manufacturing and to attract multi-billion-dollar companies to come and invest and set up factories and offices in Malaysia. So I think that's a very appropriate long-term solution. That's in the current budget. So I think not so good on the engagement part, not so good on the coordination. But I think in terms of planning, in terms of long-term, not too bad.
Tama, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
All right, awesome. Thank you very much.
That was Tama Lingapile, the director of Undi 18, talking about really where we are, right, in terms of providing security for the young of Malaysia, and we're talking not just about economic security, but as is quite clear, I think we're also talking about political engagement, we're talking about social stability, we're talking about just being able to promise some form of a good Malaysia, I think is what it comes down to. And this is coming after Tun M has basically said that economically frustrated youths can lead to unrest in the country. So I'd like to know, especially if you are young, you know, do you feel economically secure? Do you feel confident that you are going to have a job, that your wages are going to, or your pay is going to keep you where you want to be? You know, let us know. Call us at 7733-2900. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.